You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Well, good afternoon again. So thankful to be here. A huge thank you to the clergy and staff, to Jay today for being here with us, and to all of you at the Advent. As Jay said, we do feel like sister churches and congregations. I have met so many of you that said, hey, I know somebody at St. George's, or I'm kin to somebody at St. George's, and I won't remember them all, but so grateful that you shared that with me. And yesterday, by the way, I didn't know y'all were going to do this. You really do pull out all the stops. When I started preaching, there was a marching band outside. Wow, these people know how to put on the hog and welcome someone to preach. So again, so grateful. Well, this morning, the text I want to use comes from the 14th chapter of John. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I'm coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, you in me, and I in you. So again, I didn't know the hymns that were going to be sung. And today, a familiar hymn about our being saved and atonement. And it got me thinking, absolutely a powerful word, but for what? Why has Jesus gone to this trouble? And maybe let that frame our few moments together. So, at the end of The Wizard of Oz, you will remember that Dorothy has defeated the Wicked Witch of the West and revealed the true nature of Oz, and she's ready to get back to Kansas. Glinda, the good witch, instructs her to click her fashionable ruby heels and to think to herself, there's no place like home. Well, Dorothy does as instructed and even more. She does more than just think to herself. She, of course, you'll remember, you can see it in your head. She says out loud, there's no place like home. There's no place like home, before waking up back in Kansas. And Dorothy's right. There is no place like home. Home. Many say home is where the heart is. And I suspect most of us like the sound of that. Home is where the heart is. However, we like it until we're reminded by Scripture that the heart is fickle and deceitful above all things, and typically we use it to justify our determination to choose for ourselves. And so home is where the heart is, perhaps not the best way to think about this. In a world where people are experiencing increasing loneliness in the midst of our constant cyber connectivity, our hearts may be any number of places scattered and interesting, but it seems we aren't finding those places to be home at all. Perhaps home, rather, is where we belong. And that may well be different, and quite different, actually, from our present temporary focus on our longings, the things that our heart desires. Our experience tells us that it often is. And deep down, the sense of alienation and loneliness many of us feel comes from that longing. The circumstances seem exactly right. This should be like home. It seems like everything's as it should be, and yet there's dissatisfaction and loneliness which we experience. Where then is home? Well, I'd like to suggest this morning that perhaps we can think of home not so much as a place, but rather a relationship within which we properly belong. Namely, our identity as sons and daughters of a Father and His Son, and recipients of His Spirit, as we heard in this passage from John. That Spirit grants us the faith to embrace our home and to rejoice within it. Again, the gospel passage says, Jesus says, I will not leave you orphaned. On that day you will know that I'm in my Father, you in me, and I in you. And I know that's kind of a little bit esoteric and complicated sounding, but it's relational. I think Jesus is really trying to get across to us that this is about, why am I going to all of what we sang about in this hymn? It's because this is about me living in you as I live in my Father and us sharing this life together. But this relationship, we can hear about the relationship, but there's something I believe that's imperative, that if I'm suggesting that home is a relationship, that we have to frame that relationship as one of great delight and absolute affection. You see, if the relationship has any hint of you need to be nice to her because she's your sister, and I heard that a lot growing up, you need to be nice to her because she's your sister, the relationship feels contrived, and it simply can't produce much life. I love how a minister friend of mine put it. He said, whenever I would go to church, I could imagine God looking down on the people congregated there, and you know, he looks down and he smiles as he sees that you're here. Of course you're here. And goes down the rows, and then he gets to me and his countenance changes. Almost like, what are you doing here? Well, that's not absolute affection. There's judgment there, and I've felt that way myself. So I want to tell you a story that may help illustrate this relationship. And I love this story. So there's a gentleman standing in the airport and he's waiting to meet a friend who's coming to visit him from Europe. And while waiting, he can't help but notice a young man standing in the waiting area by the gate. And this is back when you could wait at the gate. So just think pre-9/11. So waiting at the gate, there's a young man there, and he's obviously excited and nervous. He's pacing up and down. He's checking the monitor. Is the plane on time? He's looking at his watch. He's walking up and down. And finally, the plane lands and begins to taxi toward the terminal. The young man positions himself directly in front of the doors leading from the jet bridge. Before the door opens, you can see the anticipation on his face. People begin to emerge, many smiling, many with the "where am I going" look on their faces, and he's looking for someone particular. And then it happens. A little boy comes off the jet bridge. He scans the crowd, and like an alarmed deer who's listening for any sound, he's waiting to see if he can hear something familiar, and he hears his father's voice. And with every fiber of his being, this little boy runs across the terminal and leaps into his father's arms. And it was an event. It was as if everything in the airport stopped as my friend watched this take place. In the twinkling of an eye, this boy leaps into his father's arms. And he could barely view this without shedding tears himself. It was a moment of an embrace with undiluted joy, sheer delight. It was togetherness. Well, my friend who tells this story says that as he watched this, he heard a voice from heaven. You know, he really sensed that the Lord was saying, "There is the gospel right before your eyes. The resurrection and ascension of my beloved Son There he is, coming as a man with all haste back to me from far country, from where he's been, once despised, reunited, and there is our embrace. But here's the most wonderful news about it. He's not alone. He has you and the world with him. Wow. That's amazing. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, you and me, and I in you. Jesus is home. Where is home? Jesus is home with his Father, and we are included in that home. Well, as we continue our march through Lent towards Good Friday, I often think of this verse from Hebrews, the 12th chapter, looking to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, who for the sake of the joy set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Disregarding its shame for that embrace in order to bring us back to the Father with him. The embrace is that joy set before him. Image of the gift of grace for humanity. We are part of that embrace. So one more story. And it's actually the same fellow who tells the first story. He's got great illustrations. I'm always wondering if I'm walking through life with my eyes shut, because I just don't seem to get these kinds of illustrations, it seems. So my friend is sitting at his home in outside of Jackson, Mississippi, and he's sorting through his mail, waiting for the Ole Miss football game to come on. And around the door, he sees his 6 or 7 year old son peeking around to see if his father is in there. The fellow notices there's another boy with his son, and he doesn't recognize this boy. He's never met him. The boys are decked out in camo. They've got camo paint on their faces. And all of a sudden, they come tearing around the corner and jump on top of my friend, and they begin rolling around on the floor, laughing and playing soldier and having a grand time. The friend found himself encircled within a relationship that wasn't actually his. He was participating in the friendship, relationship, father-sonship of my friend and his son, and yet he was participating fully. He did not go in there reticent. He charged in there because he knew his friend, and his friend said, "You can trust me. We're going to my father." And so they went in, and sheer grace enveloped this boy's life as he was included in the home life of his friend and his dad. He experienced it. He played in it. He was part of it. Well, although we are part of it, we also try to find home ourselves. Again, the heart is deceitful. We try to create it, manufacture it, conjure it up by our own resources. Is it that bad, Jay? I'm sorry. We look for a home in marriages and children and in our pets. Lord have mercy. We look for it in our pets, in our careers, in our glamour, in our glory, in our emotions, in our feelings, in our noble causes, in our clubs, in our material possessions or our politics and power. Sometimes we even try to find it within the church or the Bible or all of our religious doings. It's Johnny Lee. It's looking for love in all the wrong places. We're trying to find that place. And we can have everything, it seems, actually going for us and still feel displaced like a stranger in a strange land. 1969, a supergroup emerged out of England. Blind Faith. Eric Clapton, Steve Winwood, Rick Gretsch, Ginger Baker. everything. How could they fail? I mean, these guys were all amazing on their own. They form this group, and it's just going to take over music. They release their debut album, and it goes to the top of the charts in the United Kingdom and in the U.S. right about the time they are breaking up. Everything seemed right, and yet it wasn't. The circumstances were all aligned, and yet there was something wrong. And the album's biggest single captured the story, written by Steve Winwood, who also sang it, "Can't Find My Way Home." And they couldn't, and they couldn't. Home is belonging. It exists in one place, in Christ's relationship with his Father in the Spirit. The beautiful thing of being included in that is that Jesus is also our patient and determined Lord, refusing to let us forever flounder in our homelessness of confusion. All of the bad decisions that we make, our own crises, he comes after us as we are lost sheep straying, refusing to give up on us, revealing our blindness and ignorance along the way. He unveils our wayward efforts. And even when seriously warned, we often turn back away. And it never deters our good shepherd, who says, "There's always a place for you here. This is where you belong. This is your home." And on our own, we may not be able to find our way home, as Steve Winwood sang. But as John's gospel reminds us, Jesus knows the way to the Father, and he takes us with him into that loving embrace. That's what this is all about. Why the atonement? Why the suffering? It's not abstract. It's to bring us into that beautiful relationship so that we can find life. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. In that day you will know, I'm in my Father, you in me, and I in you. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you will join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.